You're listening to a Sun Life podcast. We pray that you be blessed by the teaching of God's word. For more information, visit sunlife.org.au. Enjoy the sermon.
Well, I also have the pleasure of letting you guys know what's up with our speaker today. Some of you may have noticed our beloved Pastor Ben is not here with us. He's actually preaching at another church today, but instead, we have the pleasure of having our friend Pastor Kumbi here with us. How many of you guys remember him preaching last time? Yeah? Yeah? It was fire. Yes. So we've got another incredible message, I'm sure. God has been using him to bring many people more understanding about the word for many years. He actually is a friend from Pastor Ben's Bible college days. And so, he's here today with his wife and kids and a friend as well. And just, yeah, why don't we make him welcome as we welcome him to the stage, Pastor Kumbi.
Thank you. I would like to thank the Lord for this opportunity to minister to you today. I'm back here. I would like to appreciate my family, the leaders of the church, Pastor Ben. May God bless you. Amen. Normally I say amen, amen. You know, it's my culture. I'm excited to share with you from the book of Daniel, as I was told. So I'll be preaching from Daniel chapter 4. So the book of Daniel talks more and emphasize that God is in control of everything. He is in control of the history, is in control of the kings, is in control of nature, is in control of everything that is on earth. But if you check, you find out that chapter 1, it speaks more about Daniel, and chapter 2 to chapter 7, it speaks about Daniel and his friends and how God has shown the people in Babylon that he is in control. So you can see how God fight for them. Then chapter 8 to chapter 12, it speaks about Daniel's visions and the future of Israel. So it's divided in three sections, but chapter 4 is in section 2. And when you look to it and the introduction, you find Nebuchadnezzar, who is the king of Babylon, speaks in praise of God. He speaks that God is from everlasting to everlasting. He is God who is in control. He has dominion. He has power over everything. Why is he starting to praise God? Because if you check before, from chapter 2, chapter 3, you find out that Daniel and his friends, especially the friends of Daniel, there was one time when they were forced to worship an idol. And they said, we don't worship such kind of idols. We worship one God. We worship the living God. So they were thrown into the fire, to the burning furnace, because they refused to worship an idol. So they were thrown bound. But when the king looked, he saw them free, walking freely in the fire. Oh, hallelujah. They were walking freely. And he looked again. He saw another one walking with them freely. And he said, I can see the fourth man, who looks like the son of the gods. He is unique. He is walking with them. So they were called out of the fire, and they were walking freely. They were not even smelling fire. Their gowns were still okay, intact. Everything, their hair was well. Wow! What kind of a God who fights or protect people from fire? So he's writing this to praise that God. He's saying he has dominion. He is God from everlasting to everlasting. He is God. He is worshiping the majesty of God. He is praising him. He is worshiping him. He is adoring him. He is accepting and acknowledging that there is power above me. Oh, drive people? Oh, yes. So you can see this from verse number 1 to verse number 3. He is praising because Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are still okay. So whatever fire that can come to you, let me say, God will fight for you. The battles are not yours. God will fight for your battles. As long as you trust the Lord, God will stand for you. It's not time to compromise, but it's time to look to the God that you worship and believe him. So he is praising God because he has seen God working miracles for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So I want to say, there is no weapon fashioned against you that shall prosper. When the enemy comes in like a flood, God will raise the standard against him. You know, when the devil tries to put us in fire, the Lord will raise the standard against the fire. In other words, God was saying, I created fire. Fire cannot burn those that are stand with me, those that love me. In other words, he got into the fire before them. He is the fire. Oh, oh yes. So the Bible says in Psalm chapter 1, verse 91, verse number 3, surely I shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. So in anything that happens, the Lord will stand with you. So now it comes. Soon after praising God, from verse number 3 to verse number 18, you find he is now in his house. And I think God read the mind of Nebuchadnezzar. Yes, he has seen the wonders of God, but there was something lacking in him. So he was in his room, in his palace. Then he saw a dream. He saw a dream. He saw a big tree. Its height would go up to the heavens, growing, covering the whole world. And with branches, with fruits, so the birds would come and hide in there, eat the fruits. The beasts as well would come there. And it was big, it was huge, gigantic. He said, wow. Then from there, he heard a voice from heaven. And he says, go down, chop that big tree, chop the tree, chop it down, and just leave a stump. Bound with iron and bronze. Just chop it and leave that stump. Wow, what kind of a dream is this? So he was troubled. He called the magician, the soothsayers, astrologers. They were all called to come over and say, please help me. Can you interpret this dream? He narrated the dream to them, but they couldn't interpret it. But before you remember, this is the second dream that he saw. At first, he told them to tell him the dream and interpret it. But this time, he tried to make it easy for them. But still, they couldn't do it. Then the Bible says, at last, he called Daniel. Daniel, I understand you have the Spirit of God in you. Can you interpret this dream? Why are these magicians failing to interpret? Because the Lord wants to show them that he is in control of human affairs. He is in control of situations. He is in control of Babylon. So Daniel was called at last. Let me say to you, the world may see you like an outcast. Maybe they can take you like you are the last person. But let me tell you, you have a message for the kingdom. You have the message for this world. You have the message of our communities. You have the message for marriages. You have a message. They know that the Spirit of God is in you. But sometimes they call you at last, like Daniel. You remember it happened again in Genesis. Genesis chapter 41, verse number 14. At last, Joseph was invited to come and interpret the dream of the king. So the king knew that Daniel could interpret. So when Daniel came, he narrated the dream to Daniel. And he said, I understand that the Spirit of God is in you. There was one time when Daniel was like, oh, can I do this today? Can I tell him? And the king said, I know you can tell me. You have the answer. You have the Spirit of God in you. You can tell me. That's why Paul says, but we have this Spirit in us. Because God has given us a Spirit to understand the hidden things of God. We have the Spirit of God in us. But you are able, Daniel, for the Spirit of God, of the Holy God, is in you. Verse number 18. Greater is he who is in you than the one who is in the world. Greater is he who is in you than the one who is in the world. We have the Spirit of God in us. May God continue to help us wherever we are. Don't be scared of anything. As long as you are a child of God, you have a word to say. You are the salt of the world. You are the light of the world. You have the answer. The Lord shall stand with you so that this world would know that God is in control. So Daniel started to interpret the dream and said, oh, whatever you saw, the big tree that was growing and filling up the whole earth and the branches and all that, it's you and your kingdom. You have influence. Your influence has gone all over. So, after explaining everything, he said to the king, but I want you to do this thing. I want you to repent. I want you to love and help those that are low. I want you to forgive others. So you can see this from chapter 4, verse number 19 to 27. You can see that Daniel is trying to help him to say, you have seen this. This is what God is going to do to you, but you can repent. So in other words, there was like a chance for him to repent, to do well. God loved Nebuchadnezzar. He loved him because Daniel is saying to him, you have to forgive. You have to be righteous. So after 12 months, Daniel became to look at himself and try and started to believe in his muscles, in his work, in his palace, in his kingdom. So he was all like, this beautiful Babylon, it was made because of me. Everything is me. Everything is me. Oh, look, the beautiful vegetation, the beautiful what have you, the buildings, they were made by me. He was in his palace and trying to be very proud of himself. But as he was still speaking about himself, praising himself, the Bible says that's where the voice was heard. The voice was heard, and Daniel is being told that from now, you are going to be like an animal. They shall drive you out of your palace. You shall go into the bush and eat grass. Your hair shall grow like the feathers of an eagle. So he looks like an eagle. He looks like an oxen eating grass, grazing, because of pride. Pride goes before destruction, and not spirit before a fall. Because what happened is pride, he started to believe in himself, and he forgets that he started by praising God and his kingdom. He started by lifting God and saying, your kingdom is from everlasting to everlasting. But now he is looking to himself. He is praising himself more than praising God. His thinking is everything. The moment you think you are on top of everything, you are the supreme of everything, maybe because of what you have, maybe because of your achievements, that's where you start to fall. When you think you have made it and everyone else is nothing, that's where you start to fall, because pride is where you think you can do without God. So he thought, I am above everything. He thought he is the one who did everything. But God was looking at him because he wanted to see if he continues to praise him. You know, there are times when you feel like, yes, we are praising God, but there are times when you forget. So this is the time where he started to forget that God is in control. He saw God helping these guys in the fire, and he praised him. But because he had no personal encounter, he had no personal experience with the Lord, he started to praise himself. So God put him down. That was a downfall of him. When you try to lift yourself up, God will pull you down. When you start to think you are above God, God will show you that you are not above, because he's in control even of Gentile kings. So the same hour he was praising himself, that the same hour he heard this voice of God. And he became an animal for 7 years. The number seven means the number of completion, perfection. So I think after 7 years, it was enough for him to realize that God is there. So the Bible says, he looked up, say, God of resurrection. So this is the time when he looked up. And when he looked up, oh my God, when he looked up, that's where his answer came. His mind came back to him because he looked up. For 7 years, he was just grazing and was not thinking of anything else. But there was a time he said, how can I continue to be an animal looking down? I have to go back to my normal senses. He looked up to God. When he looked up to God, his senses came back. And from there, he started to praise God one more time. Now from an encounter, he's praising God from inside, because he understands who God is now. Not from seeing others being delivered, from seeing others praising God, but from his own experience, from an animal and an eagle-like bird. He's back to his senses. It doesn't matter you're in a palace. It doesn't matter you have a high office. As long as you want to try to be above God, God will pull you down. He is in control of everything. He is the God of the heaven and the earth. The Bible says, humble yourself before the Lord and he will lift you up. You remember Jonah, brother Jonah. Jonah became disobedient to God. He didn't want to follow the will of God. And he was swallowed by a fish. And now he's in the womb of a fish down in the ocean. Up and down with a fish in the caves under the water. And he was quiet. He didn't say anything in there. He was quiet and he thought maybe, oh, I'm dying. But chapter 2, verse number 7. He said, when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. And my prayer went up to you into your holy temple. So he started to pray to God. He looked up. He started to praise God, and his prayer went straight into the holy temple of the Lord from the belly of a fish. You know, when you are in troubles and you remember that God is in control of everything, that's when you see your solution. When you have problems, you are under pressure, maybe between a hard rock and a hard ground, and things are not okay with you, remember the Lord. Remember that there is God up there. Remember that God is in control of every situation, every disease, every sickness, every bankrupt. The Lord will stand with you. He will be with you. Even when you go through the waters, he will be with you. That's why Jonah had to call in the from the belly of a fish. And the Bible says God heard his prayer. And when God heard his prayer, he commanded the fish to say, oh, that's enough. Can you go and... Yeah. Take him out of the water. Because he's in control of the water. He's in control of the fish. He's in control of you. He's in control of the boat. He's in control. He is in control of everything. The animals will hear him. Are you here with me? Am I speaking sense? And verse number 9, he says, salvation is of the Lord. He is the one who saves. He is the one who can take me out of troubles. He is the one who can take me out of anything that I go through. He is the king. He is the Lord. This is what Nebuchadnezzar is doing now. When he looked up and saw the Lord and praised the Lord, then his senses came back. And he started to praise God one more time. Your kingdom is from one generation to another generation. You are everlasting. You are the King of Kings. He started to praise him from experience. Hallelujah. For his dominion is an everlasting dominion. And his kingdom from generation to generation. He started to praise God. He is now normal. But he understands that the Lord is in control of human affairs. He is in control of my kingship. He is the one who lifts. He is the one who can put down. Because promotion doesn't come from the east or from the west. It comes from the Lord. He is the rock of ages. He is the everlasting Father. He is the living God. He is our Father in every situation. We don't fear of anything. We stand in the name of the Lord because we know he is there for us. Whatever comes, we know the Lord is on our side. The Bible says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Lord will remain under the shadow of the Almighty. And he will say, the Lord is my refuge. The Lord is my king. We don't fear the terror by night or the arrow by day or the person that struck by midnight. Because we know the Lord is with us. The Lord is with. We hide under him. We trust him. We know he's there. That's why Moses said, he's the rock of ages, the great I am. He is with us. Our God is so faithful. Our God is great. Our God is mighty. That's why when we go, we see the life of Jesus Christ. They thought by taking him and putting on Calvary, by burying him, they've done with him. They didn't know the power of God. The Bible says they buried him, but God resurrected him. So we can see the power of God in the life of Jesus Christ himself because they thought they've done with him, but he resurrected and was seen walking again. Even the stone that was put on the grave couldn't keep him. Even the soldiers that had AK-47 standing there being paid to look after the grave, they couldn't look after Jesus. He came out. The rock was rolled out. He was resurrected. Whatever the devil can do to us, the church is here to show the world that God is in control. And the Spirit of God that dwells in us, he works miracles every day. We have the Spirit of the living God in us. Amen. Believe that God still heals. Amen. Believe that God still delivers the bound. He is doing that right now. He's doing it as long as we believe. If you don't believe in miracles, you'll never see a miracle in your life. You'll never, because you are limited. You cannot do anything that is above what you think. That's why the Bible says, my people perish because of lack of wisdom, because they don't understand. But when we understand how God operates, then we know greater is he who is in me than the one who is in the world. I stand in the word of God. I believe in the word of God. I know I can make it. I know I can do it because the Lord is on my side. And the world has to know that God is in control. Our nation has to know that God is in control. Our cabinet has to know that God is in control. Our communities, because God made everything to operate as it is so that he can show his power. He can show his power even in Babylon. This way, they were in exile for 70 years, but God's in control of Babylon because he has a good plan with his children. That's why Jeremiah chapter 11, verse number 29 says, I have a good plan for you. A plan not to harm you, but a plan to prosper you. So he had a plan with them for 70 years. And when he wanted to show them that he's in control, in the time of Cyrus, he had to proclaim an amnesty. Every Jew, you can now go back. He was in control of Cyrus. He was in control of Darius. He was in control of everything. And the Jews were released from Babylon after 70 years because he said it in his word. And now he's fulfilling his word. Even there was a time of silence when they thought, oh, nothing is going to happen here. But God knew that in the fullness of time, they shall go back to Jerusalem. You know, all the Jews were taken to Babylon. The streets of Jerusalem were left, they were empty. Nothing in the street, no joy in Jerusalem. All the people are in Babylon, but God still is in control of Babylon. And he knew his time, in the fullness of time, after 70 years, you are going back. And Daniel would come at one time. He went to the king, and he went to God and prayed and said, 70 years has already elapsed. And God said, yes. It's your time to go back. I am in control of time. Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm in control of time. When God sets his time, he knows. Hallelujah. Whatever is going, you are going through, I want to say the Lord is with you. He is in control of that situation. That look up to God, he is there for you. Any challenge that you have, any sickness, in the name of Jesus, you are a winner. You are a victor because the Lord is with us. Like the friends of Daniel, they were in the fire, but the Lord was with them. Whatever you are going through, the Lord is with you. Believe God for a miracle in every situation. Believe God for a miracle in your environment, in your marriage. I don't know what is happening, but the Lord loves you and he will take care of you. Whatever is happening, he will send with you. He will heal you. He will cover you. He will send with you. And the world will know he is in control of human affairs. In Jesus' name. Thank you.
Well, church, Pastor Kumbi, thank you, brother, so much for your word. I think it's definitely a word in season for us. That God is indeed in control of our circumstances, that he is above all else, despite what we think, despite how we feel. You know, sometimes it's a matter of perspective, that the thing in front of us, we're looking at it so close, but then we forget to see the bigger picture and the bigger God that is behind, you know, who is above our circumstances. So we're actually going to take a moment right now just to, when you are see your feet, we're going to respond in worship. But before that, you know, as one church, we're going to, if there's something that you need to release to God this morning, if there's something that you're still holding onto so tightly that you need to let go of, there's something that you're clinging on to and you still want to let go, maybe God is prompting you right now just to release it to him. Release it to him. And then maybe your prayer this morning needs to be, God, I want to hold on to this. I'm going to release it to you. Would you have your way in my life, in this situation, in my circumstance? And so we're going to take that moment right now just to release ourselves to God, whatever it might be. You might be fighting a battle with sin that's been lingering for so long. You might have idols in your life that you're still pursuing outside of God, and you need to release that. God is challenging you this morning. It could be anything. Why don't we just take time to release ourselves to God and surrender ourselves to him this morning?